scripture reading today is from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, you may be aware, you may not. Next week is All Saints Day. And so we'll be remembering those of part of our church, part of your lives that we have said goodbye to, and have an opportunity to kind of celebrate that on All Saints Sunday, that always comes right after Halloween. And so Halloween's Tuesday. We got some folks that actually dressed up today. Y'all want to stand up? Yeah, they're all ready for Halloween. If anyone has any candy, they would appreciate you giving them some after service. And if people do ask, yes, there was a witch at the Methodist Church during worship on Sunday, so feel free to share that with your friends. We want to thank our volunteers today. Thank you, volunteers. We want to thank our choir, right? Didn't they do a great job? Yep. Thank you, choir. Did a beautiful job. The men had, I heard that. You guys had your debut part in there. It was great. Good job, fellas. Way to do that. Want to thank all of our ushers and greeters, our AV guys who are up in the back, always doing a great job, you know, all of them. I know people that led Sunday school classes today, people who are in kids ministry right now. I mean, we can just go on and on, all the folks who help be the light here at First United Methodist Church. Now, last Sunday, we got to hear from Mike Pearson. Mike came all the way up from Rogers, Arkansas, down south. Mike shared his story with us about dying on a surgical table, but being brought back to life after a series of miraculous events that occurred that kept him alive. Brought him back from life. Had this near-death experience. Now, I'd encourage you, if you missed last week, go to our website. You can listen to it. It was fantastic. We also had Rita's granddaughter who was here and sang a beautiful song for us and did a great job. Catch that. Mike's story was not that he became a believer after his near-death experience. It wasn't that he died and then he's like, oh, yeah, there's a God, and I need to start worshiping him. It was actually that he realized in life that after that moment that God had given him so much, that he had such this wonderful life, that he'd been blessed so much, and he felt like he had given very little back to God as a result of his faith. You see, our God is a covenantal God. We call it covenanting. We covenant with God. And a covenant is this two-way agreement between two contractual parties, right? We covenant together. We come into this agreement together. And so when you were baptized, that was a covenant. Even if that covenant was just between your parents, if you were a baby, your parents covenanted with God and the church together to bring you up in this faith community. If you've ever been married, you entered into a covenant with this other person, with God, with the church. When you join the church, when you become a member of First UMC, you are covenanting together with us about some things. So sometimes we have a great awareness of what we are doing when we enter into covenant. We have this awareness, we have this sense of responsibility, and sometimes we don't. We kind of miss that. We didn't kind of feel this sense of what was going to be our part of the relationship. So Mike shared that he had a realization that he had not fully lived into his covenantal agreement with God. And even though he had an awareness of needing to do this, he shared about this moment where he pulled off on the side of the road and had this moment where he kind of realized, my gosh, God has been so good to me, And I don't feel like I've done as much for God or even tried that he has done for me. Now Mike serves today. He serves in his church. He leads a small group. He's part of a small group. Mike basically goes wherever he's asked to go, which is why he came, 3 hours north here to visit with us. Because what he chose to do, what he shared was, is that Mike is stewarding the remainder of his life with a strong spiritual servant attitude. That's what changed for him after he had this experience. So whether you are aware of it or not, stewardship is your life practice. I mean, that's what we're all doing here. And I know it's kind of scary to think about this, but all of us have this limited amount of time left on this earth. It's a very limited amount of time. Someday, the day you started your life and the day your life ended is going to show up with a picture of you in the newspaper, right? I mean, that's what it's going to be. And once we have that date, we have the length of your life, we can break that down into how many months you lived and weeks and days and hours and minutes and seconds. Your life is a resource that has come from the earth that will return back to the earth. That's when we have Ash Wednesday, from earth, from dust we came, from dust we shall return. So you are making choices every day about how to spend the time that you have remaining in this current bodily form, right? What to do, who to do those things with, how to spend, save, or give away the financial resources you've worked so hard to earn, how to best use your gifts and abilities, or not, because sometimes we need to rest. And so when to rest, when to work, when to play, making decisions. Do you want to spend more time seeing the world and traveling? Do you want to spend more time at home because home is your happy place? Do you invest time in others? Do you invest time in yourself and your learning and your growing and your knowledge? When it comes to stewarding who you are, I think there are three great mistakes that we tend to make. If we're not careful, these mistakes just happen to us in life. The first one of those mistakes is you can begin to think that life is just what happens to you and you're along for the ride, right? It's you're just, that's what you're doing. Now, hopefully all of us should have a focus in life, and it motivates us. It motivates us to get out of bed in the morning. It motivates us to come to church. It motivates us to form relationships. And so what I would ask is, have you prayed lately about what the focus of your life needs to be in this particular season that you are in? Have you stopped to reflect upon that? And here's how I would encourage you. I encourage you to not let other people, to not let other things, really be careful to not let fancy advertising determine what your focus in life needs to be right now. You and God decide that, right? This is focus for my life right now. Second thing we can mistakenly do, it's a mistake to underestimate who you are and what you have to offer. Sometimes it's not that we don't want to help or that we don't care, because sometimes that can be our assumption. It's actually that sometimes people underestimate their ability to make a difference in the world, in their community, in life. There is a lie that can get present in your head, and this lie will try to convince you that you don't matter, that nobody cares about the work that you're doing, that you might be just in the way, right? So that's what the lie kind of perpetuates in your head. And these lies will stifle the stewardship process of your life. You have stopped pouring yourself out unto the Lord for your church, for your community, because you've bought into that lie. You must make the decision to not live in that fear anymore, but to move past it and to move into something better. So that's the second mistake. Third mistake we can sometimes make, it's a mistake to spend a lot of time outside of your gifting, right? You have this natural gifting, this natural way to you. Knowing how you are gifted and working within your gifting is like finding your sweet spot, right? Have you ever been in that flow, like where you found your sweet spot and it just feels right, it feels good, and you work hard, but it's good work? You will love to work in that area, serve in that area, live in that area when you find that sweet spot. But sometimes we haven't assessed ourselves properly, haven't assessed our giftedness. We haven't paid much attention to the things that we do, that we enjoy, that brings joy. You know, I've taken some coaching classes, and I regularly get kind of professional coaching. And that's one of the things that my coach is always watching out for is well, that you seem to get excited about that when you talk about that. Because we should pay attention to that. What is it when you talk about it? You really get excited about it, because that's likely your sweet spot. And this leads to doing work or serving in a way, when we don't serve in our sweet spot or work in our sweet spot, we tend to get tired faster. You tend to get exhausted quicker, right? And so some of us, that's about peopling or not peopling. Some of us, right, we're peopling and, whoo, man, just get tired fast. And sometimes vice versa, you're peopling and you leave and you're full of energy, right? Friends, there will be seasons in your life. We all know this. There's going to be seasons in your life when you will do things that aren't necessarily your gifting. It's not necessarily something that you love to do, but you know it's for the good of the cause, and so you grit down and you get it done, and you do that work. And I see that in church. I occasionally see people that say, not my sweet spot, Pastor Jim, but if it's what we need for the season that we're in, then I'm gonna do it, right? And I make a mental note, all right, don't leave them in it for too long, because it's not their jam, right? If that's the primary thing you're doing, if you're always in that place of that's not really your giftedness, not really your sweet spot, that's the beginning of burnout. That's one of the ways burnout can occur. So these three mistakes, when you're aware of these three mistakes, if you're making one of them, you're just probably not stewarding yourself super well yet in the way that God has created you to be. So try to be aware of those mistakes. Because here's what we want to do. We want to be the light, right? We want to be the light, but it's hard to be the light in life if you're constantly a victim of your own mistakes, right? Of making those other mistakes. And so the challenge is to steward your life well and therefore be the light in life. Serve your church, your community, your family well, to the best of your ability in the best ways that you can. Now, this is how Peter is encouraging a church in his letter that was read for us, right? This is what Peter was saying. The first thing that you should have noticed is that Peter began his letter with, this is the end, right? The end of all things is near. Friends, newsflash, we've been in end times since Jesus came 2,000 years ago. This is the end times. Technically, it's still the end times, because it will be the end times until Jesus comes back. And I know 2,000 years, wow, it's a long time, but in the history of the world, that's not a long time, right? And so we are still in end times. So when people say, hey, have you seen what's happening in Israel right now? Have you seen that? That's a sign. It is the end times. The end times are coming. You can say, yeah, I agree. We are in end times. And when all that gets settled, it will still be in end times. So because of it being end times, Peter tells them, look, you need to be alert and sober-minded. Alert and sober-minded. Now, I've heard it said before that we need to be sober-minded concerning our giftedness, concerning your giftedness, to be sober-minded. Once again, not underestimating and not overestimating, but showing both. And here's the challenge. This is hard. Showing both humility and strength. Let God be your strength. You bring the humility. Humility and strength in how God has gifted you for the sake of the church. And so Peter then says that they should, as a result of these things, love each other deeply and show hospitality without grumbling. Friends, these are virtues that Christ has set as goals for us. That we would love each other deeply. That we would be hospitable without grumbling. When we're here, but when we're in other areas as well. When you live virtuously like this, this is how you let your light shine, right? It's how you become more like the Son of God. It's hard because it's sacrificial. Anything sacrificial is hard. We don't live in that type of society anymore, in a culture anymore. We don't excuse me, tend to emphasize that. we don't tend to lift up the need for sacrificialness within our communities and cultures anymore. But what it means is, it means you're giving your time and your gifts away to the church, to the community, to your world in a way that gives glory to God. That when people see that, they're like, well, yeah, there's something different going on there. That's beautiful and wonderful how he or she has done this thing. You know, verse 11, it goes on to say, if anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. And so, as it turns out, our church, First United Methodist Church, happens to be deeply steeped in this pursuit of developing our faith lives around the call to serve other people. Very much built into our DNA here. Our vision statement is to create opportunities for all to serve God. We highly value service enough that we would say service is the primary driver for discipleship. It's the most important aspect of discipleship is service to others. And so if you're a member of our church, our hope is that you are serving others somehow throughout your week. Serving the church when you come here in kids ministry or youth or a worship assistant who does our scripture or our announcements or AV team or greeter or usher or Sunday school class teacher. So many people help financially with the books and balancing those things and money counters. So serving the church in that way, but then serving your community by helping in any of the local agencies or nonprofit community service groups that we have a number of great ones for a community this size. And I know that many of you are involved in those things in ways that I don't even know. I don't know. This week on Facebook, I saw that the Lebanon Area Foundation, LAF, wished Leanne Mathers a happy birthday this week because she was a member of their board. I didn't know that. Leanne's a member of this church and just one of many who serves well. I don't see Leanne this morning, but everybody make sure to tell Leanne happy birthday because I think we just missed it. So this is our vision for everyone who's a part of First UMC, that you would serve well. I would also remind you that when you became a United Methodist, United Methodist Church would generally just ask you one thing. I mean, we want you to be a believer, have been baptized, to believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But beyond that, we have one question that we tend to ask you, and it's around covenanting. It's around covenanting. And it's around how you're going to be present in the church, in your community. Now, it's a very multifaceted one thing. I shouldn't say it's one thing. It's actually five things. But what we ask when you come up is we ask if you'll support the mission and ministries of the United Methodist Church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness. And those are the five things. So, friends, what this is, what we believe this is the regular practice of stewarding all of who you are in church, in your community, to service to Jesus Christ. That's how we do it. Now, it is really not hard in life to get distracted from this covenant, from serving. Sometimes because of the three mistakes I shared earlier, like those things get in our way, in our head, and it distracts us from what we're capable of. But also because life gets busy, and you're going to experience times in life where you feel like you just can't fit it in. You just don't have time to serve because you've made it more of a complicated thing than it needs to be. And so I can't do it at that level. Sometimes we have health challenges in life, and health challenges make it kind of hard that's our focus, is kind of getting healthy at that particular time in life, so we got to focus on that. There are many reasons in life that we can enter into a season and we can get distracted from Jesus' call upon our lives to serve. But today is your reminder to let your light shine. Let your light shine. Let it shine in your church, in your community, where you work, wherever you are. Let the light shine. And so I want to end by telling you just three ways you can let your light shine in the months to come, ways, things that we're doing here to help you in this. Because, friends, church is a team sport. We work together with one another. We help one another do this. It's accountability, right? And so one of the first things you can do to help let your light shine more is we've got a fun lunch planned for you today. And it's going to be a great lunch. And there's lots of good food down there. Don't worry if you didn't bring anything. You're like, oh, I forgot about that. I didn't bring anything, so I can't come. Not true. I'm sure there's plenty down there. Remember Jesus, the fish and the loaves, you know, and it all, you know, so. There, I did it. There's plenty for you now. So you can come. Not that I'm Jesus. So don't worry if you didn't bring anything. We got a team of people. They've worked really hard on this, and they're going to provide downstairs some information about ways you can serve the church. And they've found a creative way. They've made a game out of it, right? They've made a game out of understanding some of the different volunteer roles here in our church. And so you're going to have some of that conversation around the table. So I've been told to inform you not to leave too fast after lunch because we've got a game planned. So today, you have an opportunity to consider some new ways to serve in the church in ways that we're not going to lock you in on them, because that's sometimes a fear, right? Well, if I do it once, you're going to expect me to do it for the rest of my life. That's what it means to serve in a church, right? No. This is just a give it a try thing, if you want to give something a try, right? So that's one way that you can kind of prime that light within you. Another opportunity, we're starting it next month, is a small group opportunity, just a one-time thing for you to enter into. The group will be called a Growing Stronger Check-In. Growing Stronger Check-In. And you can sign up for a time that works for you. It'll hopefully be a small group of experience, about 6 to 8 people in there. And I'm just going to have some questions. It's just a time for us to, as a group, to just talk and learn about one another, to ask some questions around how you're growing in faith, about how you'd like to grow in faith. If you need that. What your focus is, or what, well, gosh, I haven't really thought much about this, Jim, so an opportunity to talk about what you would like your focus to be at this point in your life. How you're serving, or how you would like to serve better, if you feel like, man, I just need to talk to somebody, right? Did you know that Methodism, it became the fastest growing denomination in the nation 100 years ago, because Methodists met regularly to talk about their faith and how that was going and how that was progressing. And actually, to be a Methodist, a long time ago, you had to do that. You had to participate in worship, and then you also participated in a group where you talked about your faith and what was going on there. And so you may want to come to this to get some ideas, to get some support. You may want to come because you want to be supportive of others and the strengthening of others. This is also a time for me as your pastor. Some of you all, I see you on Sunday, I see you here, and this may be the only chance I get to kind of know you, is what do you got planned this week? Oh, going somewhere. Oh, great, have a great trip, see you later, out the door, right? And so this is an opportunity for me to actually get to know you all on a deeper level, what's going on in your life, and that we can grow stronger together, and really growing stronger together connects us more deeply to our Wesleyan heritage, what it means to be United Methodist. So it's not something you're going to have to do every single week or even every single month, but something you can kind of jump in and out of to grow with other folks in your faith. It's meant to be a faith tune-up when you need it. Now, the last opportunity, the third thing, last thing, is in February, we're going to have a spiritual gifts workshop. A spiritual gifts workshop, very beginning of February. I'm thankful Pastor Barb McKenzie, Sleeper United Methodist Church, used to be a member of First UMC here, right? Right? Okay. So she's coming February 3rd. It's a Saturday kind of morning, early afternoon workshop. And it also talks about kind of your passion for life and for ministry. And so if you're someone and you're like, yeah, I don't know if I've properly assessed my spiritual gifts and the things that really bring me joy, like I'd like to do that. That's what this is going to be all about. And so hopefully some of the great folks at Sleeper First UMC, or Sleeper United Methodist Church, they'll come up and join us in that. But please go ahead and put it on your calendar for February 3rd, Spiritual Gifts Workshop. So that's how we are offering 3 different ways for you to focus more on being the light. being the light. Ways to serve through all of who you are, stewarding all of who you are, to steward well, to serve well in the name of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ might get the glory for what we do together. So, I don't know about you all. I think I'm ready to eat. I know it's a little early, but that's okay. Like, I can do it at any time. And we want to remember that what we put in our bodies is stewardship as well, right? Stewarding that, just what you want to hear before walking by table upon table upon table of food and dessert and goodness. But eating responsibly helps us have good energy, right? To steward ourselves all throughout the day. And we all get to determine for ourselves what responsible eating is, right? You determine for you, I determine for me. So we're going to practice that. I hope this week you are thinking about the phrase, be the light. And remember how that happens. Remember how you be the light. You are the light of Christ when you serve others. When you serve your church and your community, your neighbors, your family, whoever it might be. The world becomes a brighter place, thus the sun, like that, the sun rays. The world becomes a brighter place when we find new ways to live out our faith in this way of serving others. So here's my challenge. My challenge is that every morning this week, when you wake up, that you think about being the light. And that maybe as your feet hit the floor this morning, that you would say a quick prayer, Lord Jesus, help me to be the light of the world to everyone I come in contact today, that somebody might know you through my example of service this day, right? So that's what I'm going to try to think of every day this week, to be the light in that way. So let's practice that prayer. Can we do that? Let's bow our heads together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, that you've called us to be the light. And Lord, the only way that happens long term is if we're connected with you and we're deepening our walk, our love with you, because, Lord, the world, is just not focused on this type of service and sacrificialness, this type of love. So help us to be the light, to find ways to serve every day this week for the rest of our lives. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.